Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. And folks, we have hockey royalty in studio. The only human being on the face of the earth who's been with the Blues for all 52 years, Mr. Blue, Bob Plager. Bob, great to be with you. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm still on my high. It's, coming down has been pretty hard to do when you walk around this city and the fans and every place you go. It's, we're all still riding this.
So much to discuss. First of all, give us a little insight on what happens with the Cup. Now, we all know you were with it last night at Busch Stadium, but what's the first official move with the Cup now?
Well, it's been here in St. Louis. It's been going around. We have our sponsors and certain people and the owners, some of the owners. They've had it for half a day. And right now, I'm pretty sure it's leaving here Sunday, and the first stop we'll make will be with the new coach, Berube, so he'll be the first one to get it. You know, and the players, they get it for a day, so this trophy for 2 months now, it'll be on the road for 2 months. I think it does come back to Montreal for maybe a little over a week because they get the names inscribed on it then. But it'll, every player's got it for a day, and they put in their schedule, so... It's
going to
be traveling.
Do you know, I know last offseason, Vladimir Tarasenko, because of the shoulder surgery, he stayed here the whole time. Now he's got the knee surgery, I think. Mm-hmm. Is he going back to Russia? I mean, how far will this Stanley Cup trophy go? Do you know?
Well, wherever the player wants to take it. And it travels. It's been all over Europe now. And I know the first time when it went over to Russia was a big thing with the Detroit Red Wings, and they had five players, Russians, on their team. So when it went over to Russia, and it was, people in Russia, that the Olympics and the World Cup, how big it is, but the Stanley Cup to go over there, and they showed pictures with these players over there on Red Square with that trophy sitting in the middle of Red Square. And so it's over in Russia. It was there with those players over a week.
Huh. Can you imagine, though, this trophy? Like, if Vladimir's the only one from Russia, he is, right? Yeah. It would just go there for, one day, the flight and how expensive that is. Yeah. And then you have some other foreign-born players, too.
Well, last year, it was Ovechkin.
Yeah,
and you've seen what
for one
was going
day.
On with him. But he had that, and the World Soccer was going on then, too.
Oh, World Cup.
And he had it out there on the field with the World Cup, and the soccer was out there. And hundreds of thousands of people was at that game, and, the cheering and what went on there with him. And, he's very close to their president.
Putin,
He's very close to him, and he had that cup with him. He had it over there for a few days, but the pictures and the celebrations in Russia with him.
How about yourself? I know you've been with it now for a while here. Are you going to take it for a day when it comes back, or have you had enough of it?
Well, no, when you've been here 52 years, you'll never get enough of it. No, what I had planned is to see them, and what I want to do, players get to do what they want. But, I've sat down and I've talked. We have my brother Barkley here, Jimmy Roberts. I would like to get the cup for the day. And
what would you do with it?
The celebration would be with... my brother's family and Jimmy Roberts' family, and you have Eddie Kia and the Kellys and people from the first years, and
wow.
A lot of them that have, Noel Picard's wife is in here. Just bring their families and let's have a celebration for all the guys that were here that are no longer with us.
So a party at your place or at your restaurant bar or at your home?
Well, we'd find a place to, you know, we'd get it and we'd find a place to go. So, it, but that's what I'd like to do because, you know, they're a big part of this here still to me.
Yeah. Take us back to Boston, Game 7. Exactly where you were in Boston in the facility when it was 5-4-3-2. Set that scene for me.
Well, you know, we were down 3-0. We went in Boston, and I know the fans and everybody, they were celebrating already. They were at the game. They had won it. It was an automatic. I think they probably had their champagne in the dressing room. Everybody's ready to celebrate. And, you know, as players in there, you have a little pride there, too. You didn't want to be embarrassed. So when you played out there, we were leading the game at one time, and they had to tie it up, and it went into overtime, and more than anything, and it's the Boston fans and the way they were acting. I mean, you look around, and you're on the bench, and the fellas, let's give it to them. Let's, you know, they don't win the cup here. They're not going to win it here. Let's get them back to St. Louis. And
you're talking about 1970, by the way, for our listening audience.
For the, the last time we lost. And, you know, as the game went on, we were playing good, Red, and... You know, it's just something they... I'm on the bench at the time, but you're looking, and they put the puck in our end, and it went in deep, and it was Sanderson was behind the net, and Bobby Orr cuts in, and, you know, if the puck comes out, we get it. We're going down the ice on a 3-0 because they sent all five players in, and they just kept it in. And, you know, come out to Bobby Orr, and the greatest hockey player, and just, you know, he put it in the net, and after that, he was getting tripped by... You know, Noel, that famous pitcher with Noel tripping him. Noel, I look at that pitcher all the time. I says, Noel, that's you. I says, you're a little too slow. If you had tripped him about 5 seconds earlier, he wouldn't have scored that goal.
But quick side story to that. Noel actually profited off that picture?
Well, yeah, that pitcher was sent to him from Bobby Orr, sent it to him. And Bobby wasn't being smart, but he had signed it, you know, and it just said, thanks, Noel. And Noel just, he took that pitcher and he... Now you wish he had kept it, but he ripped it up and he said, I get him next year. He makes fun of me and I guess here. And, you know, you tell him, no, Noel, that was just something. I don't think he's making fun of you. So that pitcher became one of the most famous pitchers there was. And every bar, every place you go to in Boston is there. So Bobby Orr was very good. He would go on the signings, but he would invite Noel to come in there and they'd signed thousands of those pitchers. They went all over Boston a couple times, and Noel would get so much for every pitcher he signed. And so Noel did very well in that pitcher.
Didn't he say he almost paid for a college education of his daughter or something?
Well, that's why I say he did very well. It was just, I mean, those days at Bob, and to go with Bobby Orr, you go anywhere, he's going to attract the crowd.
All right, let's fast forward 49 years. So Game 7 in Boston, where were you? 3-2-1. Describe where you were at that moment. When you're watching the Blues win it,
right down behind the bench at the end, I come down. I was upstairs walking around. They had the camera on me, and when it was 3-0, I was in the room. We scored that third goal with I don't know if you see it on the tape, but that's one of the first times I ever walked in. I to have a peek, and it was Pronger and Hull and Jackman and Tkachuk. They're all in the little suite, so I walked in and I just. Looking over their shoulders, we scored that goal, the third goal, 3-0. So it was then that I had the pass. I was going to go on the ice. They come and got me to go downstairs. So I'm waiting by the elevator to go downstairs, and you hear a cheer go, and the Boston fans are already leaving. Some woman turns around. She goes, oh, well, that's not us scoring, because it would have been a louder noise at St. Louis again. So sitting there, it's all right. I said, no.
Yeah, and for our audience who doesn't know this, you try for good luck purposes to not actually watch the game, but then when you hear a roar, then you look. You take me through that.
Yeah, well, it's not just for good luck. It's just I'm so nervous I can't stand to watch. And, you know, I do a lot of walking around there. I'll start off, and when the national anthem is played, and I watch the face-off, and if it goes into their end, I sit and I watch it for a while. If it goes into our end, then I just say, I'll see you guys later, and I start walking, and... You know, I walk around and you listen. You can tell what's going on during the game by just the noise that's inside. You know, I walk and I'll peek in every now and then. And but when that horn goes off, we score a goal. No matter where I am in the rink with those suites I'm walking by, I just walk right in through and catch the replay on it. It's nerves. you know, it was so easy to play the game. Playing the game was the easy part. You never got nervous. You're on the bench. You go on the ice. You're playing your shift. You're right into the game. You come off. You sit. You're getting your rest. You're watching the your player that you're going to take. You know that you're taking his spot, and you're in the game. You never have a chance to get nervous. But now I sit up there and I watch, and you're up top, and there's not one thing you can do. You sit and watch the game, and I still throw body checks up there. I still make good first passes. I don't make too many mistakes sitting up there, but you can't do anything for the players, and I just get so nervous for them and that I have to turn around and walk, get out of there.
Were you so swept up in it, you were just really, really excited for the players when you're seeing this, or did you have a moment where during that celebration you immediately thought about your brother Barkley?
Oh, yeah, I thought about my brother Bark all the time and the players, you know, and it's not just my brother Bark, you know, Jimmy, we lost Jimmy and those guys there. And,
Jimmy Roberts, first Blue.
And, you know, Noel is up there and Al Arbor. Our whole defense from those first years, if you go over the defense, the St. Louis Blues for those first couple of years, we went to the finals.
That's how you got there.
Yeah, and I'm the only one that's left. Everybody else is gone now. I'm the only defenseman from those years that's left. And you know, it's funny when we had the day of the parade, the thunder and the rain. I mean, everybody, you know, hear our parade that's going to get spoiled because, you know, the thunder in the morning, all the rain. So we got out there to get in our vehicles and the thunder, a couple of thunder, a little rain. I says, I'll stop that. And I just looked up to the sky and I said, okay, you guys up there, stop your party. And now it's time for us to get our parade going. And they looked at me and I says, no. I says, all that thunder. I says, it's those idiots upstairs. I says, they're partying up there. I says, that's not rain. I says, they keep spilling their beer. That's what's coming down. It was a little joke. Then the weather cleared up and we had a great day.
Boy, you've been telling me for years about how you wanted that parade. And you know, normally something this hyped or anticipated would not live up to the billing. But, man, that parade did, didn't it?
Oh, I mean, even more. And, you know, it's something I said every time you have your rally and every time I hand out the sweaters to the players, the new players, as they come in. And, you know, I need a parade, fellas. I want a parade. And every time I say I need that parade. And, you know, we get on a winning streak. When I come out of the garage, the police are there directing traffic. And I go to the left. And every once in a while, winning streak, I'll say, no, I'm going to the right. And they say, where are you off to? I says, I'm just going down Market Street. I'm just going to practice my wave. and I've always said, when we have a parade, I've been here for the baseball, the Cardinals. I was here for the football. You go down the parade, and I've been there, and it's great. You sit there, the people, and I've always said, if we have our parade when we win, because St. Louis is the hockey and their different fans, I've said it'll be the biggest parade that St. Louis will ever see. We have our, and it was even bigger than I thought there would be, and probably the greatest thing about this parade, and I think the people in St. Louis with our players, as I told them before we went out there with Perenka, Petro had the trophy. I says, you know, when you stop, you're going, so take that trophy. I said, these fans, run around. Let them touch the trophy.
Oh, you totally do that.
I said, let them touch it. I mean, they'll go crazy, and it's something they'll always remember. And, you know, they're such a big part of this hockey team. The fans are. I mean, they're part of our team. And I said, it would be nice to do that. So when we took off, you've seen what happened that parade. That he took that trophy, that Stanley Cup. They put babies in it. They took pictures. They put it people were in there, they filled it up, and they were letting them drink out of it, and when that trophy came back, I said, there's more fingerprints on that trophy now than the FBI has on file from the people grabbing it, and then all the players were down. You see them grabbing the scooters going down, and with the fans, well, the people in St. Louis, that parade was probably the greatest parade that this city has ever seen for the players that got out, and they all mingled with the fans.
You said something in there that when a player joins the team, you give him the jersey or the sweater?
Well, the last few years, yeah, we had the big rally over at the Ballpark Village.
I remember that last summer, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you've seen it in the paper, and it was O'Reilly when I got gave him his, he comes up and I give him the sweater and they put the sweater on, you know, we do the rally over there. And I gave him the sweater. I says, well, I says, now, I says, you got to get me a Stanley Cup. And right there he says, no, I says, you got to get me the parade. I need a parade. He says, I'll get your parade. You know, it was like this here. Now, they just had it on just a couple of days ago, him saying it. So Thank you. You kept your word.
Very nice. We have Bob Plager in studio with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to put together an all-time Blues team. We have some thoughts. We'll get Bob's critique of our team and who should be on it, who did we leave off, who definitely deserves to be on it. We're going to go four lines. We're going to go four defenseman groups and then about three goalies. I wanted to name two, but with Jordan Binnington doing what he did, I think he may have to be on this list. Before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. If you get a chance, head on out there. Go to 99 Hops House, 99 different beers to choose from. It's a great place to watch the games. Final Cut Steakhouse, the all-you-can-eat buffet, Charlie Gito's. We appreciate Hollywood Casino being our title sponsor. We'll take a break, and we're coming right back.